ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। फ्रॉम द नाइन्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 21, चैप्टर एंटाइटल द डायनेस्टी ऑफ भरता, टेक्स्ट नंबर 22। अजामिदाद ब्रहदीसु तस्य पुत्रो बृहद्दनु बृहत्कायस्ततस्तस्य पुत्र आसे जयद्रथः। ट्रांसलेशन फ्रॉम अजामिदा केम अ सन नेम बृहदिशु। From Brihadishu came a son named Brihadanu. From Brihadanu, a son named Brihatkaya. And from Brihatkaya, a son named Jayadratha. We'll continue reading. The son of Jayadratha was Vishada, and his son was Sienajit. The sons of Sienajit were Ruchiraswa, Dridahanu, Kasya and Vatsa. The son of Ruchi Raswa was Para, and the sons of Para were Prutusena and Nipa. Nipa had 100 sons. King Nipa begot a son named Brahmadatta through the womb of his wife Krithvi, who was the daughter of Sukha. And Brahmadatta, who was a great yogi, begot a son named Vishwaksena through the womb of his wife Saraswati. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Sukha mentioned here is different from the Sukadev Goswami who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadev Goswami, the son of Vyasadev, is described in great detail in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. There it is said that Vyasadeva maintained the daughter of Jabali as his wife, and that after they performed penances together for many years, he placed his seed in her womb. The child remained in the womb of his mother for 12 years. And when the father asked the son to come out, the son replied that he would not come out unless he were completely liberated from the influence of Maya. Vyasadeva then assured the child that he would not be influenced by Maya. But the child did not believe his father, for the father was still attached to his wife and children. Vyasadeva then went to Dwaraka and informed the personality of Godhead about his problem. And the personality of Godhead, at Vyasadeva's request, went to Vyasadeva's cottage, where he assured the child in the womb that he would not be influenced by Maya. Thus assured, the child came out, but he immediately went away as a Parivrachakacharya. When the father, very much aggrieved, began to follow his saintly boy, Sukadev Goswami, the boy created a duplicate Sukadeva, who later entered family life. Therefore, the Sukha Kanya, or daughter of Sukadeva, of Sukadeva, mentioned in this verse is the daughter of the duplicate or imitation Sukadeva. The original Sukadeva was a lifelong brahmachari. And there are no more purports after this till the end of this chapter. So, text number 26. Following the instructions of the great sage Jaigish Savya, Vishwaksena compiled an elaborate description of the mystic yoga system. From Vishwaksena, Udaksena was born, and from Udaksena, Balata. All the sons are known as descendants of Brihadishu. Text 27. The son of Dvimida was Yavinara, whose son was Kritiman. The son of Kritiman was well known as Satyadriti, From Satyadriti came a son named Dridanemi, who became the father of Suparswa. Text number 28 and 29. From Suparswa came a son named Sumati. From Sumati came Sanatiman. And from Sanatiman came Kriti, who achieved mystic power from Brahma and taught six samhitas of the Prachyasama verses of the Sama Veda. The son of Kriti was Nipa. The son of Nipa, Udgrayuddha. The son of Udgrayuddha, Kshemya. The son of Kshemya, Suvira. And the son of Suvira, Ripunjaya. Text number 30. From Ripunjaya came a son named Bahurata. Purumida was sonless. Finally, there's somebody who doesn't have a son. Ajamida had a son named Nila by his wife known as Nalini. And the son of Nila was Shanti. Text number 31 to 33. The son of Shanti was Sushanti. The son of Sushanti was Puruja. And the son of Puruja was Arka. From Arka came Brahmyaswa. And from Brahmyaswa came five sons, Mudgala, Yavinara, Brahadvishwa, Kampila, and Sanjaya. Brahmyaswa prayed to his sons, "O my sons, please take charge of my five states, for you are quite competent to do so." Thus his five sons were known as the Panchalas. From Mudgala came a dynasty of Brahmanas known as Maudgalya. Text 34. Mudgala, the son of Brahmyaswa, had twin children, one male and the other female. The male child was named Divodasa, and the female child was named Ahalya. From the womb of Ahalya, by the semen of her husband Gautama, came a son named Satananda. Text 35. The son of Satananda was Satyadriti, who was expert in archery, and the son of Satyadriti was Sharadvan. When Sharadvan met Urvasi, he discharged semen which fell on a clump of Sara grass. From this semen were born two all auspicious babies, one male and the other female. Last verse. While Maharaj Shantanu was on a hunting excursion, he saw the male and female children lying in the forest, and out of compassion, he took them home. Consequently, the male child was known as Kripa, and the female child was named Kripi. Kripi later became the wife of Dronacharya. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 21st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Dynasty of Bharata. Seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas. So we have come to the end of this chapter. And it is so fascinating that if we were to have a quiz on this particular chapter and we were to ask who is whose son and who is whose father, it will be impossible for any one of us to pass, right? It's so difficult even to say the names. What to talk about remembering and, you know. So from this, we can understand the extraordinary qualities of this person, Sukadev Goswami. What Sukadev Maharaj is repeating over here is something that he had heard from his father, Vyasadev, years back. But then he is narrating it so effortlessly. He doesn't have the Srimad Bhagavatam in front of him. He doesn't have a book that he can read from. He's narrating it completely from his mind. And in this particular section, Srila Prabhupada gives us the background of how Sukadev Maharaj came into being, which is narrated in the Brahma Vaivarta Puran. And what we can see is that here is a person who was so completely convinced that this material world is a miserable place, right, that he wanted to not come out at all. For 12 years he stayed in the womb of his mother, and then when his father is requesting him, please come out, you know, you have stayed in the womb of your mother too long, please come out now, he is telling his father, no, I won't come out. And his father assures him that don't worry, you will not be influenced by Maya. And the son doesn't believe him. Because the son says, you yourself are not free from Maya, you are so much attached to your wife and children. How can you convince me that I will be free from Maya? And then his father, Vyasadeva, had to go to Dwaraka in order to get the Supreme Personality of Godhead to come personally and then convince Sukadeva Maharaj that don't worry, you will not be affected by Maya. And then Sukadeva Maharaj comes out of the womb of his mother. And then in the first canto, we go back now. In the first canto, it is narrated how Sukadeva Maharaj comes out and then starts walking into the forest. He doesn't want to have anything to do with this material world. And his father, Vyasadeva, is going behind him, telling him, please, please come back home. And then just in order to please his father, once again, here it's mentioned that Sukadeva Maharaj creates a duplicate out of himself who enters into the Grahastha ashram. So for a Grahastha, or more particularly a Grahamedhi, the whole concept of existence means his family, what he owns in terms of his possessions, his social position, his influence over others, his ability to control others. This is what a Grahamedhi's life is all about. And he gets complete happiness out of being in that particular situation. And here Sukadeva Maharaj is, by his own example, telling us that there is absolutely no point in coming out into this material world. So all of us are so fortunate that through the mercy of Sukadeva Goswami and through the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are given also this knowledge that there is nothing in this material world that is worth aspiring for. Sukadeva Maharaj didn't even want to come out into the material world. Now we have already come out. We are already in the material world. But from Sukadeva Maharaj we can understand that this is not a place that is fit to live in. And in fact, Srila Prabhupada himself would say on several occasions that this material place is not a place fit for a gentleman. And Srila Prabhupada said this 40 years back. And 40 years later, we see that if Srila Prabhupada had said that this place is not fit for a gentleman, today the situation is that this place is not even fit for any person. What to talk about a gentleman? Right? Because in this last 40 years, there has been so much of degeneration and degradation in society, particularly in India. Because of our attempt to imitate the West, what we are finding is that actually we are bringing into this land all the miseries that the West has experienced 50 to 100 years back. The same thing that they went through 50 to 100 years back is what we are going through today. And if you connect with any person outside the circle of devotees, you'll find that actually they are so miserable. I go for a walk in this Hanging Gardens here on top every day in the evening, and after I finish my walk, I just spend a few minutes just sitting on a bench where there would be several other people sitting, just to hear what people are talking. And it is really fascinating. Invariably, whatever they are talking has everything to do with misery. Like once I remember, there were two ladies, so well decorated, bejeweled, apparently from a very aristocratic family. And they were conversing amongst themselves. They were quite old, but very elegantly dressed. They had not come there for a walk. They just come there to, you know, spend some time together with each other. And one lady was telling the other lady that my daughter recently had gone through a divorce. And this husband of hers, such a rascal, although my wife is so nice and so, although my daughter is so nice and so beautiful and, you know, so well qualified, this rascal ran away with another woman. And she is so unhappy. I don't know what to do. And really, if you, when I saw the expression on her face, after I overheard her talking, when I saw the expression on her face, it was filled with misery. And invariably, every other day, there would be a group of people who would be talking about either the stock market crash, how much money he lost in the stock market, or how much prestige he has lost. And these are people who are in the top 1% of society. The quality of people who come to a place like Hanging Gardens is actually the type that everybody wants to be, right? If you ask a person in Dharavi, what would he aspire to be? He will tell you that I aspire one day to have a house at Malamar Hill, right? Or Hanging Gardens or wherever. Right? That is his aspiration. That is his goal. But then you wonder, when you hear these people who are apparently so well-to-do, having so much of power, prestige, influence, what is the fate and what is the situation of these people? Then you realize why Sukadev Maharaj doesn't want to come out of the womb of his mother. Because there's no happiness. This material world is dukalayam ashashvatam. Lord Krishna has certified this in the Bhagavad Gita. It's a place of misery. It is a temporary place. Wherever we go in this material world. A brahma bhuvana loka punaravartino arjuna. Mamu petyatu kaunteya punar janma na vidyate. Right from brahma loka downwards, what to talk about Hanging Gardens. All the way from brahma loka, where the quality of life is unbelievably superior. We can't even imagine. Like Brajvasi Prabhu was telling us yesterday about how Arjuna went to Swargaloka. And now even Swargaloka is not imaginable by us. What could be Swargaloka? Srila Prabhupada has said that the nearest what comes to Swargaloka is Hawaii. But that's just in terms of the temperature. Hawaii has the best possible temperature throughout the year. We have a Prabhupada disciple, His Grace Sureshwar Prabhu, who stays for 6 months a year in Hawaii. And 6 months a year he spends in Mayapur. Right? So I often get a chance to associate with him. And he says that although Hawaii, temperature-wise, is one of the most beautiful places, one of the most pleasant places to live on in earth, the 6 months that I spend in Mayapur are millions of times happier than when I spend in Hawaii. He has to be in Hawaii for his service. Because a place like that also has incredible amount of sense gratification. And for a devotee to be in a place which has facilities for sense gratification is only a disturbance. He will be there to do his service, but anything more than that, he doesn't want to have anything to do with it. So Brajvasi Prabhu was mentioning how Urvashi, who is one of the most beautiful damsels in Swargaloka, she could not attract Arjuna. Even she could not attract him. Because he was so much fixed up in his determination that he didn't even look at her as an object of sense gratification. What to talk about Brahmaloka? But Lord Krishna is telling us, "A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna, Mam Upetya To Kaunteya Punarjanmana Vidyate." There is no happiness even in Brahmaloka, because Brahmaloka is also a place of death, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukha Doshanu Darshanam. We have birth, old age, disease, and death. May not be in the same way what we have over here, but it is there even in Brahmaloka. So only a foolish person will aspire to go to Brahmaloka or to Swargaloka, because there is misery. So Sukadeva Goswami is telling us, by his own example, by his own character, that this is a miserable place. So we see it through the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So many examples of powerful personalities who set such high standards of behavior in their own lives. Like recently, we have been discussing the pastimes of Maharaj Rantidev. Now, he was such a powerful king. For 48 days, he was fasting. We can't even imagine fasting for 48 hours. Right? As far as I am concerned, I'm sure all of you are yogis, you all will not have any problem. The one day in the year that I actually do the fasting is the Nirjal Ekadashi day, which recently I was told that Prabhupada really never in his books mentioned about Pandav Nirjal Ekadashi, although he was very particular that devotees should fast on Janmashtami and Ekadashi days. But nevertheless, devotees, we practice this once in a year, fasting. I start meditating on this 48 days before, just to keep the consciousness fixed up, so that on the day of Nirjal Ekadashi, somehow or the other, you know, we are able to maintain this vow of not even drinking water. So that is this Kali Yuga body, which doesn't even, you know, and what to talk about the Kali Yuga mind. Nowadays there are so many different philosophies that go on with regard to diet. Like recently I heard this philosophy that the most appropriate diet for a person is to eat once in 2 hours. I mean, every 2 hours he should keep eating. And what is the logic? The logic is that if you eat every 2 hours, then your body, in order to burn that food, makes use of the fat that is there inside your body, and by that you'll become thin. You know, your fat is getting depleted because the fat is consumed to burn the food. Every 2 hours you're keeping on eating. So you have to eat 8 times a day. You know, that's 16 hours you're awake. So you eat 8 times a day. And they actually tell you that you lose weight by this. Every 2 hours you eat, but you lose weight. So that's a philosophy. There are so many different philosophies that go around telling you how to eat and how much to eat, when to eat. Right? But through the pages of the scriptures, we know that when we go through this penance of fasting, like a person like Maharaj Rantidev fasted for the benefit of his subjects. It was not for his own personal progress or acquiring something that he was fasting for 48 days. He was actually doing this fast for the benefit of his subjects. And at the end of the fast, when there was such wonderful prasadam that was offered to him, which he was fully justified if he would be honoring it, at that time there were several personalities who came and started asking for prasadam. And Maharaj Rantidev, he was such a magnanimous person that he kept on feeding all these persons to such an extent that finally there was the little bit of water that was remaining, a chandala came and took it away. Maharaj Rantidev was on the verge of death. His hands were shaking and he was trembling. So that is the character of some of the personalities that are mentioned in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. From the pastimes of Ramanujacharya, we know about Maharaj Kulashekar. Now, he was such a personality. For the sake of his subjects and for the sake of the Vaishnavas, he would be willing to do anything. To such an extent that when there was a Vaishnav in his kingdom who he had engaged in a particular service, and because his ministers were envious of this person, they conspired against him and then they made a false accusation against him. Maharaj Kulashekar said that this person is a Vaishnav and he would not have done what all of you are saying that he has done. And Maharaj Kulashekar said that you please get me a venomous cobra in a basket and I'm ready to put my hand inside. And if this person has actually done what you say that he has done, then let the cobra bite me and let me die. So that was the faith that he had in Vaishnavas. Intense faith. Once I was listening to a class of His Grace Jananivas Prabhu in Mayapur. And Jananivas Prabhu was discussing about the genealogical table of Swayambhu Manu in the third or the fourth canto, I don't remember. So one of the devotees there asked a question that why is it that in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam we find that there are personalities like Ambarish Maharaj, Dhruv Maharaj, who are such personalities. But at the same time, there are so many personalities who are mentioned on the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, but actually do not perform any role. I mean, they do not have any great pastimes that are connected with them, like all those personalities that we read just now. They're just mere names, right? Sukadeva Goswami is just narrating so many persons whose children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, they just appeared and disappeared. So why is it that the Srimad Bhagavatam has personalities who are apparently inconsequential? And Jananivas Prabhu gave a very, very wonderful answer to this. Actually, that answer was practically like a Bhagavatam class by itself. And Jananivas Prabhu was saying that the whole entire Srimad Bhagavatam has been narrated by Sukadev Maharaj, where every verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam can actually make you remember Krishna. Because the whole purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to elevate your consciousness to such a level that you can only remember Krishna as you're reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said that everything about Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to elevate your consciousness. And every activity that we are expected to do, we have to meditate upon it so intensely, just like how we are reading the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to meditate on the activities so intensely just to remember that each of these activities is connected to Krishna. Like recently, we were participating in the Chandan Yatra. And along with a few other devotees, I had an opportunity to be applying Chandan on the Lord's body. And as we were applying Chandan, one of the devotees was applying the Chandan and the Chandan was falling off from the body of the Lord because it was not sticking properly. And this devotee was painstakingly taking the Chandan which had fallen down and he was putting it on the Lord's body. So after the whole, and this was resulting in a lot of waste of time because he could have actually taken the Chandan from the vessel and then put it directly on the body, but he was ensuring that every bit of Chandan that was there, which had fallen down on the altar, he would pick it up and put it back again on the Lord's body. So, after the dressing was over, I asked him, why were you doing that? Why were you wasting your time? You could have just taken this Chandan from the vessel and put it on the Lord's body. And the end, when we are doing the cleaning of the altar, That same chandan can be taken and put back into the vessel. I mean, there's no wastage. We are not wasting the chandan in any case. And he made a very nice point. He said that every bit of chandan has been made by a devotee with a great amount of care. You know, so much of effort has gone in grinding the chandan. It's so easy for us to put the chandan on the body of the Lord. But if we meditate upon how much time and effort it has taken that devotee or the devotees to prepare this chandan, then we'll realize how much of devotion has actually gone into making of that every bit of chandan. And I was really amazed at his deep realization. And then I realized that in order to really experience, we really have to go and grind the chandan. It's not necessary that you just put the chandan on the Lord. That is very nice. But in order to really and truly understand how difficult it is to grind chandan, how difficult it is for the chandan to manifest, one has to really go and grind the chandan. And that's exactly what I did for really half an hour, and a teeny weeny bit of chandan came out. And just, you know, half an hour of intense grinding, and the quantity of chandan was not even adequate to fill a teaspoon. Then I realized, yes, what he said is really valid. Every bit of chandan which is going on the body of the Lord has had a tremendous amount of effort and devotion that the devotees have put in. So Jananivas Prabhu was making this particular point that a devotee, whatever he does it out of intense consciousness. Nothing that a devotee should do should be impersonal. Because he is serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is personal, whatever activity he is doing, he has to do it with a full realization that he is actually doing it as an offering to the personality of Godhead. And Jananivas Prabhu was giving the example of Vasudev the leper. He said, here is a person who is suffering from intense and unbearably painful leprosy. Right? His leprosy was so advanced that he had worms that were coming out of his body and the worms were eating into his flesh. And periodically, a worm would fall off his body. And Vasudev the leper was in such consciousness that he was thinking that this worm is actually feeding off my body. And this worm is actually needing whatever I am able to offer him in terms of the flesh. So how can I deprive that worm? And then with full concentration, he would take that and put it onto his body. And then Jananivas Prabhu gave one more example. He gave the example of Govinda. Govind was a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one day, when the Lord was completely fatigued out of dancing, the Lord lay down to rest on the pathway between from one door to another door. And it used to be the practice of Govind that once the Lord was lying down to take rest, he would go and massage the Lord's body so that the Lord's fatigue would go away. So on this particular day, he approached the Lord and told the Lord that, my dear Lord, please make way for me to go into the other room so that I can massage you. The Lord said, I'm so tired, I can't move, I can't even move my body. He said, you do what is necessary, but I can't do anything in order to facilitate your moving into the other room. So what Govind did was he spread a cloth on the body of the Lord and then he crossed over to the other side. And then he started massaging the Lord. He massaged the Lord for nearly 45 minutes. And then the Lord woke up and then he saw that Govinda was still there. So he asked Govinda, what are you doing here? What about your prasadam? Why didn't you have your prasadam? So then Govinda replied, in his mind that, my dear Lord, how could I go for my prasadam by crossing your body? Your body is worshipable. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, but then you crossed my body in order to enter into the other side of the room. And Govinda replied that, my dear Lord, for your service, I am ready to do anything. But for my sense gratification, I am not ready to do even this small offense. So Janinivas Prabhu was saying that this has to be our consciousness in whatever activity we do. And if you are doing that throughout the day, 365 days of the year, till the time we leave our body, if we are doing whatever we are doing in the consciousness that we are doing it as an offering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we will find even the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is dealing with personalities like this, whom we can't even connect to. Right? We will never be able to remember who was the son of Nipi, who was the father of Nipi, you know. But if you ask about Dhruv Maharaj, if you ask about Maharaj Ambarish, if you ask about Prahlad Maharaj, yes, everybody knows those pastimes, but all these personalities in the Srimad Bhagavatam are relatively unknown. But if we approach Bhagavatam with the proper consciousness, then we can see Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in every verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I just thought that since we are dealing with this particular topic, which was relatively not so exciting, I thought of sharing this deep realization of Janinivas Prabhu. And from his own personal example, you can see that every day in the evening, we have this beautiful aarti for Sri Sri Radha Madhav and Panchatattva. And Janinivas Prabhu is an old man. He's 67 years old today. But every day, you will see him with a pair of kartals. He'll bring his own pair of kartals. And he would be dancing widely before Radha Madhav and Panchatattva. Right, Nitai Priya Prabhu? He's... Every day we see Janinivas Prabhu. And every day he will religiously sit for the Bhagavatam class. Why? After performing 40 years of devotional service, what is the need for him to come for Bhagavatam class every day? Right? But he is experiencing so much of internal bliss and happiness that for him it's a matter of routine. Every day is there. He will come with his Bhagavatam book and he will sit right in front of the speaker. Very, very attentive. So that's the consciousness that all of us need to aspire for. Because ultimately, Srila Prabhupada set up this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. To whatever extent we can purify our consciousness to be able to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to that extent we will make advancement in our spiritual life on our path back home, back to Godhead. And you can see from the life of Srila Prabhupada himself, this is a beautiful book that has recently come out, Miracle in Second Avenue. Mukunda Goswami writes about the early days of the Hare Krishna movement. And it's unbelievable what Srila Prabhupada has gone through. And there's one particular episode that I just concluded reading, which I thought I'll share with you. We just have a few more minutes. So this is the day of Janmashtami, 1967. And all these devotees were told by Srila Prabhupada that he should come right in the morning to the temple. And all these devotees assembled over there. And Srila Prabhupada told all the devotees that throughout the day today, we will fast. No, he didn't say first we'll fast. He said, we'll have kirtan, we'll do japa, and we'll narrate the pastimes of the Lord. We'll do half an hour kirtan, we'll do half an hour japa, and we'll narrate the pastimes of the Lord for half an hour. And like this, he said, we will spend the whole day.
And Mukunda Goswami was thinking to himself, it's only 7 o'clock in the morning. And also after that, Srila Prabhupada said, today is the appearance day of the Lord. And on the appearance day of the Lord, we fast till the Lord appears, which is at midnight. So then Mukunda Goswami was thinking to himself, that it's only 7 o'clock in the morning. And what is Srila Prabhupada talking about? They would call him Swamiji at that time. What is Swamiji talking about? That we have to fast till midnight. He said, it's impossible. Now, these are people, I mean, he has also given his background in the opening pages of this book, where what activities they were doing, and all of them came from very deplorable backgrounds. We don't have to go into the details. I mean, the background of these people was so pathetic. Now, drug addicts and alcoholism, and they came from broken families, and everything was against them. But when they came into contact with this, and in fact, most of them had already experimented with different types of spirituality. You know, some had toyed with Buddhism, some had gone to Zen philosophy, and you know, most of them had something or other in their background. And when they finally came to the Swamiji, and then they realized that here is a person who is able to really, to whom they were able to connect. They didn't know anything about devotional service or pure devotional service, but they just knew that this is a person who will not take them for a ride. So here they were on the Janmashtami day, and Srila Prabhupada is telling them that today you have to fast. And Mukunda Goswami is thinking that, what can I do? How can I fast? And then Srila Prabhupada starts this half an hour japa, half an hour kirtan, and half an hour of reading the Krishna book. And then Mukunda Maharaj narrates that before we realized it, it was evening. The whole day had passed. And Mukunda Maharaj was saying that I was sitting for the first time in my life for 7 hours continuously in one place. He said, even I can't believe that I could do that. They were so much attracted to Srila Prabhupada. Just by his pure, pure devotional service, Srila Prabhupada managed to attract all these persons. And the conditions that Srila Prabhupada was living in, you know, he was in the Bowery, filled with drug addicts, alcoholics. They would just be lying on the passage. And Mukunda Goswami would go to the room of Srila Prabhupada, which was also located, his room was also located in the Bowery. And then he would go and meet Srila Prabhupada and talk to him. So Srila Prabhupada exemplified that particular quality of being a pure devotee, and because of that, all this so-called hippies of America were attracted to Srila Prabhupada at that time. Because he was always Krishna conscious. Wherever he was, whenever, there was only one desire, somehow or the other, I should please my spiritual master. We'll stop here. It's already 9:15. Thank you very much. Are there any comments? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.